Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined again today by my colleague Sophie Towns, who is a solicitor in the corporate team here at Sintons. And our podcast today, which is episode 5 of our Understanding Corporate Law podcast series, will last approximately 10 to 15 minutes. And Sophie is going to give an overview a basic asset sale and share sale transaction. So without any further ado, straight over to Sophie. Sophie, good morning and over to you.
Thanks, David. Today, I am going to talk you through the typical timeline when dealing with an asset sale or share sale transaction. There is no one-size-fits-all timeline and every sale transaction will be different in some way, shape or form. But what I will discuss today will be what is typically involved in the majority of sale transactions that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. So just to recap, an asset sale involves the sale of all or part of the assets of a target business, whereas a share sale involves the sale of all or part of the shares of a target business. We have looked at previously at the key differences between the two, but the steps involved in dealing with an asset sale and share sale transaction are very similar. So first of all, on the basis that all tax and financing issues have been explored and dealt with, and we have identified a winning buyer, proposed timescale for completion and engage professional advisors, then the first step is to look to prepare, agree and sign heads of terms where appropriate. As discussed in the last podcast, the heads of terms will set out the key deal terms which have been agreed between the buyer and the seller, including but not limited to price and payment terms, whether there is any deferred consideration or any specific warranties or restrictive covenants. At this stage, we should also look to see if any confidentiality or exclusivity agreement is required between the parties. The next step will be for the buyer to undertake due diligence. This is something that happens at the beginning of most sale transactions. And as I have explained previously, it can often be the most time-consuming. The buyer will ordinarily want to undertake legal, financial, and accounting due diligence on the target business, and this step will normally be coordinated by the buyer's solicitor. The usual process is that the buyer's solicitor will prepare a due diligence questionnaire, which will include a set of questions which are tailored to the target business. The seller will then be required to answer the questions and provide any supporting information as required. There are ordinarily separate financial or accounting questions which are dealt with by the buyer's accountants in the same way. This process enables the buyer to specifically seek information on the target business and uncover any potential issues or concerns prior to completion. This is a key step, and to avoid delay, it is important that the parties adopt a streamlined process from the outset so that due diligence questions are presented by the buyer's representatives in a clear and concise manner. And similarly, the seller provides fulsome answers with clear supporting documents in an easily identifiable manner. So next, the key transactional documents will then be drafted. These include the share purchase agreement in the case of a share sale or asset transfer agreement in the case of an asset sale, each of which are usually drafted by the buyer's solicitors and set out the key terms on which the sale and purchase will take place. The terms should align with the heads of terms where heads of terms have been agreed and signed. The share purchase agreement or asset transfer agreement is the key document to be negotiated by the parties in the sale transaction. The next key document is the disclosure letter, which will be prepared by the seller's solicitor and will outline certain qualifications to the warranties provided by the seller in the share purchase agreement or asset transfer agreement as applicable. In order to determine the qualifications for inclusion in the disclosure letter, the seller will be required to undertake a disclosure exercise whereby they review the warranties in the share purchase agreement or asset transfer agreement as applicable with their solicitor and identify any facts or circumstances that may have the effect of qualifying the warranties. These qualifications will then be presented to the buyer in the form of the disclosure letter, and again, will be subject to negotiation between the parties' solicitors. There will be a host of other ancillary transactional documents, which will usually include, in the case of a share sale, a stock transfer form, director or secretary resignations, auditor resignation, settlement agreements, indemnities for lost share certificates, and company's house forms. In the case of an asset sale, property transfers, assignment of leases or licenses, novations, transitional services agreements, and any other documents required to transfer title to particular assets. And in either a share or asset sale, there may be documents such as escrow side letters, board minutes of the buyer and or the seller, shareholder resolutions and circulars, security releases where the target business and assets are subject to security, press and trade announcements, legal opinions, particularly when dealing with cross-jurisdictional transactions, powers of attorney, and assignments or licenses in respect of the transfer of intellectual property rights. Responsibility of the drafting of these documents depends largely on the document in question, but these documents will, like the other transactional documents, be negotiated between the parties and any other person who is party to the same. But once the transactional documents have been agreed, the buyer is satisfied in terms of due diligence and funding is in place, and the parties will be in a position to exchange and complete. The specific exchange and completion process will need to be agreed between the parties. The key point is that the parties will need to agree whether there should be a split exchange and completion so that there is a period of time between the two steps, or whether exchange and completion should occur simultaneously. This is ordinarily something that would be agreed at the outset and is often dictated by the circumstances of the transaction. For example, a split exchange and completion may be appropriate where completion is conditional upon a certain event having taken place, such as obtaining approval of the sale from a regulatory body. The practical steps involved in exchange and completion include agreeing all transactional documents and arranging to sign the same, agreeing a completion funds flow to ensure that the movement of monies are in place. The party's solicitors will invariably draft and agree certain solicitors' undertakings in respect of completion formalities and or the movement of funds from solicitor client accounts. If there is a split exchange or completion, then the buyer will need to consider insurance arrangements. Where the buyer is obtaining funding to support the acquisition, then all of the lender's requirements will need to be complied with. Where the target business is subject to security, then it will usually be a requirement of the buyer that such security is released at completion. In such circumstances, the buyer will need to line up the chargee to release such security, which will often involve the chargee signing security release documents and being paid a redemption fee as at completion in full and final settlement of all outstanding obligations of the seller. The parties will need to consider any other consents that may be required as part of the transaction and ensure that all third parties who are party to any transactional document has signed and released their documents pending completion. Once all formalities have been dealt with, the parties can then proceed with exchange and completion. Finally, after completion, there will be certain matters that both parties will usually need to attend to, which we often refer to as post-completion matters, including, in the case of an asset sale, sending letters to customers, suppliers, and employees, notifying them of the transaction, and in the case of employees, dealing with all 2B requirements. In the case of a share sale, the buyer's solicitor will need to deal with the submission of stock transfer forms to HMRC for stamping and satisfying any payment of duty on behalf of the buyer. The buyer's solicitor will also need to file all relevant company's house forms and update the statutory registers of the target business to reflect the position post a share sale. In the case of either a share sale or asset sale, dealing with press releases or public announcements. And if the transaction involves the preparation of completion accounts, parties will have agreed, in accordance with the terms of the share purchase agreement or asset transfer agreement, who is responsible for the first draft of the completion accounts. That party will need to diarise to ensure that they comply with their obligations and provide the other party with the first draft for approval within the requisite timescales. One final point to touch upon is that timescales for completion of a share or asset sale vary considerably and will largely depend on the complexity of the transaction and the approach taken by the parties involved. Similarly, the steps involved can vary considerably, and as mentioned at the beginning, there is certainly no one-size-fits-all approach when dealing with a share or asset sale. On this basis, it is vitally important to seek professional advice from the outset. So that wraps up today's podcast, which I hope you found interesting. Next up in our series, my colleague Lewis McEwen will be talking you through company constitutional basics. As ever, thank you so much for taking the time to listen, and please do not hesitate to contact me or one of my colleagues in the corporate department here at Sintons if you would like to discuss a corporate transaction in further detail.
Thanks, Sophie. Enjoyed listening to that one as always. Very quickly for me, We release our webinars, podcasts, and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And you can also follow the corporate team on Twitter at SintonsCoCo. That's at Sintons, C-O-C-O. As I always say at this stage of the podcast, if you'd like to discuss anything Sophie's Raised today further in this or in any other of our podcast series, please don't hesitate to get in touch. Sophie can be contacted via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email sophie.towns@sintons.co.uk. Episode 6 will be definitely with you before we break for Christmas. So we very much look forward to speaking to you again. Thanks once again to everyone that's listening to these podcasts, to sending in their questions. We generally do appreciate it and we don't take it for granted. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you.